Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Boiler Upload Ledman and Casey show for now, filling in for the Clint and Casey show because Clint's not here. Had some schedule issues today where we had to do an emergency media session with Painter and the team because they are taking the bus up to Michigan tonight, Ledman.
That seems weird. Why did they say why?
Well, the snow is coming tomorrow. So right. Anytime leaving tomorrow, the snow would hit. Why they okay. chose a bus?
Right.
I'm assuming it's the same thing as here, where there's not really a bunch of flights that can fly into your school. Wasn't there some issue of, like, it's an unfair advantage for...
Yeah, but that, I think, was only for recruiting visits. Yeah, I think as far as the team flying in and out, it doesn't matter. But
I don't think Purdue is bringing recruits to Michigan. Right.
Yeah, but the issue with the airport was because right. there was no actual airline who flew into it anymore... You couldn't use it because then it was just for recruiting, and the NCAA has right. stupid rules about everything. So yeah. there you go.
It could have been simple that it's if you're making new arrangements to travel, it's a lot easier to get one bus
yeah.
than it is a yeah. One plane. Yeah. In my experience, I always have to work harder to get my private jet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just makes sense because you got to get the pilot, you got to right. get the people to, you know, the maintenance.
And at that point, it's a 4-hour drive. I've used half of it talking to people. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Obviously, this is Edgar Ledman of Hammer and Rails fame, the new leader dictator, which
co-manager with Drew. If Drew listens to this or sees this,
so
and I
less impressive.
If I don't say co-manager, he will have me murdered. So I have to say co.
It sounds healthy, but
yeah, it's a good relationship we have going.
Right. So yeah, you're coming in to fill in for Clint today. We're going to talk a little bit of. Once again, Purdue is, by the way, Levin, like the shirt?
I do like the shirt. I do like the shirt. I'm wearing, hold on, I'm wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers shirt, but it's also Star Wars.
Ah, the Mando Lawsons.
Don't know why you went, no, not, I'm moving on. I'm going to let that go.
That's fair. Yeah, so we're going to talk about the number one ranking for Purdue. Third time in program history, second time this year, first time they've ever come back to it.
Yep.
And then we're going to talk about the Big Ten basketball scene vibe. Not good.
Fart noise.
Yeah. And then I have a mystery question for you at the end, something that I found out today, kind of to do with this shirt.
It's random. Okay.
I don't think we've ever talked about, which is part of why I'm mad at you.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
That's fair. So, Ledman, Purdue's number one again.
How's Heck it yeah, we are.
Do we care more the second time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like, it's not that it's ever easy to be number one, but I feel like...
Loneliest, some say.
It's the loneliest number.
Yes.
You know, once you get there and then you get knocked off, like Purdue has against Rutgers both times they've been number one, it almost seems like it's harder to get back because right. then everybody else is nipping at your heels and you're not the media darling anymore.
Right.
You know, the AP voters are always looking for somebody new, always looking for the new story, something to spin. And so if you can work your way back up after getting knocked down, I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, it's especially with the way last season went.
Yeah.
Obviously, Purdue's undefeated, finally get that number one ranking, and then to just immediately lose it. And it did kind of take some of the varnish off the season where it felt like, you know, you guys got this ranking, but I'm not sure you ever really deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was almost like we got it by default. And then once we lost, everybody was like, I knew it. I knew it. And then we never really got back up there again.
Which, you know, hits personal to home to, I think, most Purdue fans because that's the mindset already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely good that the entire landscape of college basketball right now is just in shambles. Everyone's losing.
Yeah.
Except for Purdue and Alabama. Were you surprised that Alabama didn't take over?
No. No, it shouldn't have been because I'm not saying Alabama is not a good team. They certainly are. I think they're deserving of number two. But when you looked at the previous week, Alabama received no first place votes. Purdue, I think, had three. So the two teams in front of Purdue obviously lost. Kansas lost twice. So you knew they were going down. Houston lost to Temple unranked. So you knew they were going down too. It was just a matter of would the voters give them kind of a mulligan and keep them ahead of Purdue. That was my only thought, was maybe they would stay above Purdue, but I didn't think there was any chance that Alabama, a team who received no first place votes last week, would jump up Purdue, who had received three. And I was right. I mean, every first place but every first or second place vote went to Purdue or Alabama.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue. I thought that's why maybe Purdue might have gotten overtaken, just because it was so clear that it was those two alone that I'm not sure a ton of thought was going to go into it. And it wouldn't just be, well, Alabama looks hot right now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, pretty much the one negative you can say about Purdue is the Big Ten isn't that impressive.
Right. Yeah, that's but I mean, Purdue also...
SEC
I mean,
is not impressive.
Right. But Purdue had a great non-conference. Right. So you got to remember that as they go through these rankings. They can't just base it on, you know, they've played some bad teams in conference, which Purdue is obviously the Big Ten, a major conference. They, you know, if the conference is down, you can't help that as a team in the conference. You can only play who is on your schedule. So,
yeah, 19-1. I mean, that's a big boy record.
Yeah, it is. Best start in school history. So, I mean,
were you surprised by that?
That it was the best start in school history? No, not at all. I mean, I've been watching Purdue basketball, you know, since the Big Dog era.
Right.
And I mean, there have been a lot of good teams, but Purdue generally has a pretty tough non-conference schedule. Right. So it didn't really surprise me that 19-1 is the best start.
I just always assume a team from like 1794 went 23-1, taking on Marion four times a week.
Nope. You know, Purdue basketball didn't start until 1896.
No. That was close.
1896. The first game, do you know who the first game we played was?
No.
Chicago. The Lafayette YMCA. That's true. I looked it up the other day for a story and was like, that is bizarre.
I want to know how that team got put together, because I've been...
The Purdue team or the Lafayette
YMCA? The Lafayette YMCA, because I've been deserving.
I assume it was just the five guys who were there at the time. They're like, hey, we're Purdue. We got next.
Yeah. Because
play noon
the
ball.
Francis Cordova correct team. Like, I need to be on that. Who can we face? Chicago State? Let's go.
Yeah. Well, no, we could get University of Chicago, still technically a Big Ten member, and then you could from there. Yeah, they're still a member of the Big Ten academically, but they don't compete athletically.
This is real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never heard this.
Yeah.
Do people know this?
I mean, I know this.
I think you're dropping a truth bomb.
Now you're making me Google it because I'm like, I know I'm right, but
what does that mean to be athletically linked or academically linked?
Well, it's like you're going to make me all the research institutions.
I would never have brought this up.
I know all the Big Ten institutions, they share their research with one another.
Ah.
So they still have that. But the University of Chicago left the Big Ten.
So they're on our Google Drive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They have the permissions to log into the big the big document dumps. But
we broke up, but they're still on the Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We were like, we're already paying for the four screens. We might as well let them have one.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not petty.
Yeah, the breakup was amicable. It was fine.
Sure. So this leads perfectly into the conversation. Levin, what is happening with the Big Ten this year?
I have no idea. I can't remember a year where the Big Ten has been this bad. You said it the other day to me, and I think you put it on Twitter as well. It's like after Purdue and maybe Rutgers at two.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's like from 3 to 11.
I just did my power rankings today.
It's just like this. I mean, it doesn't matter. Put a name in and pull it out of a hat. And then the next week, it's probably going to be completely different because we've seen teams like Michigan go absolute in the crapper and then come back. IU has gone, way into the basement, and then they played the last three games.
Yep.
Ohio State looked good and then lost, four or five in a row. Illinois has
looked good. They lost to Minnesota at home.
Yeah, at home. Yeah, that was a bad game. I watched the second half of that one and was like, what are they doing?
Yeah, what's
happening? Because Ohio State has so much more talent than Minnesota.
Sensabaugh by himself should probably... Yeah. Like, it should be a three-point game if just him.
Yeah.
I'm his teammate.
You know, he's a freshman. I don't know if you've ever watched a game with him in it. They tend to say that 100 times every game.
In their defense, doesn't look like a freshman. Physically,
well, no.
Very no. Gifted. But yeah, it's just wild because I'm doing the power rankings today, and it's so just arduous after the second spot.
Yeah.
I give it to Indiana for three just because – by default, almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And Illinois are playing well right now. That's for sure.
I've got Illinois at 11. They're not that far off
from three.
Yeah. I at 4, 5, 6, Illinois was considered. Yeah. I ended up dropping them all the way down.
And Illinois and Ohio State play today, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I was just watching Rutgers and Penn State. And it looked like Rutgers was handling.
Yeah. I would think Rutgers is going to win that one, but I believe Illinois and Ohio State play today because it's one of those I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
Right now, Illinois is up by 12, 31-43.
See? Right. So, too low.
Yeah, I guess.
It's to the point where – so Purdue leads KenPom. They have the best offense and best defense in the conference.
You were about to say country. I was like, no.
They're fourth now nationally in offense and 16th, up to 16th in defense. That is the best mark in both in the conference. And past that, you are looking at programs that you're pretty much choosing they are a one-sided team. Which side do I like the most?
Yeah.
Iowa's offense is elite, fifth in the nation.
Defense, not so much.
No. Ohio State's offense is pretty good, but falling. Their defense isn't very good. A lot of teams, it's the opposite. You know, Rutgers, elite defensive team, not a very good offensive team.
Yeah.
Outside the top 100 right now, I believe. So it's a whole lot of those, which kind of makes sense when you look at recruiting overall and looking into next year, the McDonald's All-American, I think two players are going to the Big Ten. So we're like, the conference is not adding that top end talent.
No.
A lot of reasons for that, obviously. It's interesting because most, the way we're losing recruits to overtime and professional and stuff like that kind of makes the big schools' jobs harder because there's not as many five stars to go around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think Purdue is in a really good sweet spot when it comes to recruiting because those, we weren't really in play for those anyway.
Right.
And so now they're just kind of getting the best of the four-year guys and the, oh, you know, accidentally hit on Ivy who turns into a two-year lottery pick. So it's working out for Purdue, but you're seeing teams like Michigan State gets Xavier Booker, but overall there's not the same amount of five stars to grab from.
Yeah.
And they seem to be really concentrated.
Even with Xavier Booker going to Michigan State, granted, he's obviously very talented. I don't know if Izzo still has it in him, you know?
I miss doing the podcast with you, buddy, because oh my goodness.
I mean,
man whines.
He's not the same coach he was even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He's always been like an angry, grouchy kind of like
old guy. Vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much like, I've put in my time. Yeah. Everyone should respect me.
Right.
Why aren't things going my way? I mean, his press conference after losing to Purdue, complaining about the officials, was so whiny.
Yes.
You know, it's just, and he does.
But he said he wasn't whining, Ledman, so he wasn't whining.
I love that. It's like, that's like.
No offense.
Exactly. No offense. Or in Talladega Nights, all due respect, but I think you're dumber than a piece. You know, it's like, that's not, you can't just say that and then say anything you want. That's not how that phrase really works. It's just wild.
Yeah.
But to your point earlier about, you know, the Big Ten being, you're either good at offense or you're good at defense.
Right.
I know you're using KenPom. Somebody tagged us, the Hammer and Rails account, CBB Analytics on Twitter put out an XY axis, you know, with offensive rating on one.
That's one of those graph things.
That is a graph. Yes.
Okay.
And Purdue, I mean, just in the complete upper right quadrant.
Oh, right, yeah.
Exactly where you want to be. I mean, top offense, top defense. And so it's very interesting to me to see it all kind of plotted out because you really do see, like, I mean, Minnesota is so far down in the bottom left.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible offense, terrible defense. And, you know, you look at these charts and you really are like, I mean, that really is how the Big Ten is right now.
Right.
There's Purdue looks elite. Everyone else is good at like one thing.
Right.
And then there's a whole bunch of teams that are bad.
And we know that March Madness success is based off being good at both.
Yeah.
And it's also a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy because when you put so many, especially like so many defensive charge teams against offenses that struggle, it's just going to get even uglier when they play.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to grind everything out. And I think teams have done a good job doing that to Purdue lately. Maryland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
mean, the second half of that Maryland game was an absolute rock fight.
Right.
Maryland was causing Purdue to take 10, 12, 15 seconds to, you know, get across the timeline and then set up an offense.
Yeah.
And then suddenly what usually takes 20 seconds, you've only got 15. And then you're hustling, you're rushing things.
Yep.
Then you make an errant pass, and then you know suddenly Maryland's you know taking a fast break. Although they didn't convert many fast break points, but they had a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, it was interesting. I really did think Maryland had, you know, we talked about Nebraska, or in general, people have talked about how Nebraska's defense really solved something. Purdue had open looks against Nebraska both games. They just didn't make threes. There was not open looks for Purdue against Maryland. Those guards ran everything off. defended well, rotated behind it, and it Purdue looked tired.
Yes, especially Braden Smith. Yeah. Braden Smith looked very tired. I don't know if he was sick or what. We got a lot of questions about that on Twitter, but I hadn't heard anything one way or the other. But the fact that Purdue only took 10 threes in the entire game was really indicative of what Maryland was doing to them on the perimeter. They just couldn't find any open looks. Yeah. You know, especially Purdue started 2 for 3 and then wound up 2 for 10. So it just great. Tells you how well Maryland clamped down.
Yeah. And I think the blueprint to, in theory, beat Purdue, which I don't want to phrase it that way because one team has beat Purdue. There's not a blueprint. But big guards, if you can have big guards and big wings that can really muck it up and play physical. We know Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, they're tough, they're good, but they are at a size disadvantage. And if they have to work that much harder in a game, it's going to be hard to get clean looks. It's hard to, you know, Lawyer did a really good job attacking Michigan State. Michigan State plays 3-point guards. And I think that matters a lot for Purdue. So yeah, that really seems like the only, if there is an Achilles heel of Purdue, they're not the biggest team guards. So,
I mean, that is true, but I would say also, I mean, Purdue's inconsistency from the 3-point line.
It's not great.
It has been the other one. You know, in the games we've really struggled, you know, that Maryland game, as I said, we were 2 for 10. We didn't shoot it well against Rutgers. We didn't shoot it well against Nebraska. Right. And those are our closest games. And of course our one loss. So if they can do better there, it's very, very tough to beat them.
Yeah. That was just the first game where they didn't get the looks, which is more concerning to me because it still feels a little unlucky that in general, everyone on this team has a pedigree to shoot. So it's a little strange they haven't made shots, but as long as they're getting them, I think you're going to feel better than not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah.
But our final thing, or one last thing before we let you go.
Okay.
You were co-founder of the IU Sucks thing?
Yeah.
All of that. You've never once told this story. We have podcasted for hundreds of hours.
I have told this story.
And this thing that we have whined about that I hate.
I have told you this story.
That I think you kind of hate too.
No.
I don't ever remember you saying.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to stop you. You're mischaracterizing my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't love it at football after the kickoff. That I think is just silly and doesn't really make any sense. So at football or at basketball, you know the song Hail Fire they used to play? They don't play anymore? Where the students did the dance and they put their arms. Yes. That was the song that we put in the IU Sucks cheer at the end. And
just for IU games? Or
we did it for every game, but there's a reason for it. Okay. So we went to...
This is your chance to defend yourself.
Oh, I'll defend myself all the time. I even wrote an article about this on Hammer and Rails that you can find. We don't read that website though, right? I knew you were about to say that. When I was vice president of the paint crew, they invited a couple of the exec board members to go to a band practice because they wanted like coordinate between the paint crew and the band so that we're all on the same page. And
guys go to the band practice?
Yes.
All the time?
No. Just for one.
Just one occasion.
They wanted to walk us through like, okay, here's our cues for this. Here's our cues for that. Mm-hmm. And then that way, Dylan was the other guy who went with me. He was the secretary at the time. So that him and I could then relay it to everybody. We could put it in the game day sheets. We could make sure everybody was on the same page, which I agree with 100% needs to be done for a student section. And we can, you know, be ready to go. So they had us come. Dylan and I already hated the Hail Fire thing. Like, we thought the dance looked stupid. We thought we looked like idiots. And, like, only a third or maybe less of students did it anyway.
Which is the worst of all the looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were like, this is awful. But at the band practice, the band director, who was, I think, Max Jones at the time, was like, here's the dance. And so they had like, they played the song. Dylan and I are just sitting there like looking at each other like, oh, I hate this. Mm-hmm. And they had like a couple band members like, okay, and then we do this. And then, and then we flex at the end. And it was like, great, great. Okay. Uh-huh. And so later on, there was a women's basketball game and we went to it. And if you'll remember, Purdue bands used to play Rock and Roll Part 2.
Okay.
It was the da 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 da. And then Purdue students would yell, IU sucks at that point. And then they stopped playing that because people were yelling, IU sucks.
So they've been trying to take this away for a long time.
Exactly. Okay. So at the women's game, they still played Rock and Roll Part 2 because no one yelled, IU sucks. But then one game, it might have even been an IU game, a bunch of paint crew people went to the women's game.
And you were reminded.
And they played that song, and we were like, all right. So we yelled, IU sucks during it. And a couple of the people who were in the band were like, you can't do that. We're like, and, you know, we're idiot college kids. Yeah. So we were like, we can do whatever we want.
Oh, no.
And the band director was like, well, we won't be able to play that song if you keep doing that. And we're like, oh, really? So then at that game, we put IU sucks into every single song the band played because we were jerks and we were 21, 22 years old. And so then after that game, the next Purdue game, Purdue men's game, we were like, Dylan and I were like, we got to get rid of this dance. We hate it. Let's get rid of it.
So IU sucks was planted.
Yeah.
To get rid.
Absolutely.
So it worked just way later.
So we planted, like we put it, because, you know, we knew a lot of people in the paint crew. So we were like, hey, we told this person, we told this person, we told this person, and they're scattered throughout the paint crew.
Uh-huh.
And instead of doing the dance, we would always just stand up and just put one finger up in the air. And
you were the bloodline before the bloodline?
Yeah, basically. So we would just stand up and put one finger in the air and we'd wait. We wouldn't do the dance. We just stand up and everybody was like looking at us. And then at the end, they do this, ah. And so we waited for that and then just yelled, ah, you sucks. And then it just like everybody laughed when we did it. And so the next game, because they play the song every game at the exact same time. The next game, it was more people did it. And more people and more people until the entire arena was
all sheep.
And then, like, to make matters worse, then everybody was doing the dance.
No, the dance came back.
Because they were like, oh, this is great. It leads into the IU sucks chant. So, like, everybody was doing the dance. Uh-huh. So it went on for years.
Yeah,
everybody doing this dance, and the whole arena was doing
it. Took COVID to kill it,
but still, like me and a couple people who were still at Purdue at the time, like when that started, would still just stand up and put one finger in the air, and no one knew what we were doing.
Holdouts,
yeah. But then eventually, they finally, I think, I believe it came from Mitch Daniels that they were like, "You got to stop doing that." And
it was right after the song. It was right after the Matt Harms thing at IU, right?
I think it might have been, yeah.
I think that was the kind of catalyst for,
yeah,
we all need to be nice to you.
Let's be nicer.
But you wanted, but you planted this. Like,
yeah.
What, 20 years ago? 15? How old are you?
It was 2007, 2008. So it would have been
15, 16?
15 years ago, yeah.
So you planted it to get rid of the song.
Yeah,
the song is gone now, and so is IU Suck. So
yeah,
it was a long con, and it worked.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, now I wanted to come back because it was so
the
fun
song?
At the end. I mean, I can deal with the dance. The song, I think, is fine. I have nothing against the song. The song is a lovely song for a band to play.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't like the dance.
Okay.
And then, like I said, it just like it ballooned on us and morphed into this whole thing, and we were like,
told me this story.
I'm pretty sure I have.
There is no way I would have forgot all this.
Yeah, well.
That's great. Pretty timely. We play IU in like a week and a half.
I think that's right.
So you officially as a vice president, former vice president of the paint crew are petitioning for IU Sucks to come back.
So I actually... One of the folks who's in the paint crew now, like one of the exec board members, I'm not going to name names.
Careful.
Reached out and just wanted to talk about like how we did things back then and like.
Tell them the story.
I did. at least part of it. I don't know how much, I can't remember everything I told him, but, and he was like, yeah, apparently they had a meeting to try to like get some stuff back that they'd taken away. And allegedly there was just like a lot of pushback from administration. Mm-hmm. They're like, not going to happen. So he's like, well, you know, we tried, it's not going to work. So it sounds like unless something, and maybe the new president will have a softer heart for it. He seems to go to a lot of sporting events. So, you know,
he was very pumped.
He looked like he was having a good time.
Yeah. So this is too good. Yep. So that's the IU sucks, the origination and yep. the origin.
Origin. I knew it, man. I was going to let it go.
Origami or origin.
That's the origami.
Yeah. Of the IU sucks. All right. Is there anything else? I think we're about ready to wrap this up. Anything else? We're going to Michigan Thursday.
Yeah.
Didn't end well last time. You worried?
No. It's a tough place to play. Their fans are usually pretty rowdy. Their students, at least.
I have no expectations. I don't know how to feel. It's a football school.
Yeah. Yeah. Their student section is really close to the court, though. They're right behind the bench for Michigan and Purdue, but it's kind of like they have it set up kind of funky. But it's a pretty good environment. I like watching games there. I think I've told you the time I got kicked out of my seat at the Michigan game for standing up,
yes,
and cheering. So we talked about that on the podcast.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a good place to watch a game. I think Purdue should win the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Purdue is more talented. I think Edie and Dickinson will be a fun matchup.
Right,
but I think Edie should get the best of it.
Dickinson has 10 3-pointers made this year. To this point, 10 and 20,
and he will hit 3 against
Purdue. He went 6-9 against Purdue last yeah. season in 2 games.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting.
Gonna be fun to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, for Ledman, I'm Casey. This is been a fun little rejoiner of
that's right
podcast past. Definitely go ahead and there's a little button down there. I think it's going to be right here on the right, over here maybe over there. It'll be one of these places. It says subscribe. Hit it. Make those numbers jump.
That's right.
And yeah, everyone else, just enjoy watching the game on Thursday. Thanks for watching.
Boiler up.